Yo and hello, everyone. It is me, Kevin, and I'm here with Kylie. What's going on, Kylie?
Nothing much.
We are here to cover Big Brother Canada 10, episodes 19 and 20. I know you guys are used to seeing Sheldon and Josh and sometimes DeLucas. Well, tonight you get just the two Americans.
Just the two Americans to talk a little Canadian television.
It's Passover, so Sheldon has a night off, and I don't know where Josh is. So Josh is not same. Here
like, I think something going on.
So we're gonna do what we can, and we're gonna go through the game as we've seen it, and we'll tell you about these last two episodes. Kylie, first and foremost, Sam wants to know, what season are you on now?
Okay, so I am about halfway. I'm just now getting to the jury phase of 7, and absolutely hate this season. I'm so ready for it to be over.
So in your whole Canadian initial watch, like they don't rewatch, it's the initial watch. How are you liking it in comparison to BBUS?
So I would say as a whole that this is the first season that seems kind of similar to Big Brother US in that there's like a bromance that is dominating everything. You're seeing some really dumb women. I hate when women look stupid on television. And yeah, so it's kind of coming across like what you see BBUS. You always see the big, you know, group alliances with the guys that kind of run things. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not really liking that. But as a whole, gosh, it's so much better than BBUS. Like the casting is so good. There's just normal people. The competitions are different. The competitions are fun. They have no problem blowing up the house. They don't always vote exactly the way the HOH wants. Lots of split votes, lots of flipping, lots of controversy. Like they will go at each other and then they will all be making out 5 seconds later, playing some truth or dare. And it is just a wild ride. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Probably have to say that Cassandra is like now one of my top three favorite Big Brother players with Brittany Haynes and Janelle.
Okay.
Stan a strong woman, and so having fun.
Okay. The last question I have for you for the BB Cam versus the BBUS situation. Are there a bunch of shout outs in the seasons you're watching?
No, there are a few, but not like what BBUS is.
I'm waiting for BBUS to have someone go on there and say, I vote to evict Kylie. Shout out to www.powerade.com. Shout out to www.prowater. Drink your water, eat your water, have a good day. Shout out to
just
have like sponsored it's so shout ridiculous. Out.
Like you may have like every once in a while someone might be like, you know, miss you, mom and dad, house guest. Like, you know, it's not a 5 minute, you know, they have 30 seconds to do their speech and they spend 25 seconds shouting out their family and, you know, CBS for casting them. They don't do that. You know, you might get a real quick little shout out and then they just go for it. And I love it. I mean, they bring it in their speeches too. I mean,
good.
Wow. They hold
nothing
back.
I just love the idea that someone's going to go up there and say, follow me on IG, at Kevin G. Also, make sure you check out Fendi Fashion at Fendi _fashion.
He literally came in with his own gear and threw it out, which, I mean, great for him. But
it's smart.
Okay, Sam, one more thing before we move on. Adam and John make me want to be on BB Can and increase the number of Newfoundlanders on the show that are great players. So Adam is honestly why I don't like this season. I really, really don't like Adam. Love John, but not an Adam.
Adam's thing. The reason you don't like this season. Okay, I think we're in the time between BB Can and BBUS. I think me and you are gonna sit down and we're gonna go through the whole series. You're just
that
gonna tell
so
me
fun.
The things I need to know and what you remember. That'd be great. We'll do that.
But so I'm definitely a season 4 fan, my favorite.
Okay, well, right now let's switch to season 10, right? Okay. Because we have currently on the block, we have Moose and Summer on the block currently, right? We have Gino as the HOH. The plan is the back door Martin. I will no longer call Marty. His name will be Martin going forward. I am not a fan of this man, so I will be calling him Martin going forward. Okay. So. Okay. The plan is the back door, Martin. That's the plan from Gino. What do you think of this plan in terms of putting these two up?
So, I mean, I think it's fine. You know, Gino is not closely aligned with Summer or Moose. I think they kind of all have good relationships, you know, intermingling. Like, you know, and especially in these episodes, we kind of see the flirt dance between Gino and Summer. But these aren't people closely aligned with working-wise, so I think that's fine. Especially, I mean, Moose is a great competitor. Moose is very smooth. Summer obviously has an amazing social game. So, I mean, I think these are two great people to put up. You know, why waste your time on Betty? I'm not trying to be mean. Betty provides some entertainment, but she's just not that great. So, if you can't get out your backdoor target, I think putting up two people that are a threat to you is a great way to go.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. And I think it's interesting because though Summer and Moose are both loyal to Gino, they both seem to would rather go with Betty and Josh other than those two. So it just makes sense. Now, I think the best move would have been to put up Kevin and Helena, because then you guarantee that if the veto gets you, like, you're intentionally leaving them out of the plan. So since you're leaving them out of the plans, you might as well put them up, because you know that everyone else is going to use the veto, and that will guarantee that the two of them also use the veto because they're on the block. So
yeah, you're either 100% way, right, because those are the two that are openly working with Marty. Obviously, they were so worried about Helena once her name was spun. Also drawn. Once her name is landed on, they're worried, okay, hey, five of these people competing is great for us, but we got one that we have to worry about. And, you know,
right,
Murphy's Law.
Yeah, what can go wrong will go wrong. You know, it is what it is. We're going to get to the veto specifically. But the first segment, like I said, for those that don't know, Sheldon does a very good job of leading this thing, and me and Kylie don't have any notes. So we are going to be going from what we remember. And
off the top of the dome.
Off the top. From what I remember, Summer is very upset about being nominated.
Yeah, she's right? Done with Gino.
Yep. She says she is done with whatever his last name is, because that's what she calls him all the time.
I think she calls him Steven now, which that's his first
name. Oh, yes.
It took me a minute. I was like, who is Steven?
She is done with him. First she called him by his last name, Giannopoulos or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what she normally called him. And now she just calls him by his government name of Steven because she is upset with him. And she goes and she lets it be known that she's not happy. Gino comes in there, tries to talk to Summer, and Summer's like, not until I get my makeup done, because she's pissed.
Yeah.
Now, I think she's rightfully to be mad, because even though she's a pawn and she's playing, she knows that this flirting that she's been doing, Stavros, thank you, Sheldon. He calls her Stavros. She calls him Stavros all the time. And now she has a pet name for him, a nickname. I would have thought I was safe too if I'm her. So I definitely get why she's upset.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it, but, you know, okay, we're just going to skip all around. But, you know, whenever we get that little flirting segment where, you know, JC Lynn's not real happy with her, I mean, it definitely seems like Gino is kind of more entertaining it because of the game. And so where Summer is saying, hey, you know, we got this little flirt man's going. I can't believe he would do this. Like, I'm his other wifey, but, you know, that's not his wifey, unfortunately. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be the mistress and then be mad when he dumps you and sticks with the main one.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I get that. Moose talks to Gino, and Moose is very right. He's like, look, man, I thought you probably should have put up the other two. I'm a good shield for you. I'm here working for you. But, you know, if that's what you want to do, it's fine. I see you want someone to go out there and win the veto, so I'm going to go out there and do my best. And I think Moose is starting to show that he's very good at this game.
Very good.
I think you said it earlier this season. He's like Paul, right? He's very similar to Paul.
I was actually going to give it more of like a DX.
No, the reason I say like Paul is because Paul didn't know how the game played, and neither does Moose. Paul and Moose both got in the house and got a crash course. Paul comes back for 19 and straight dominates 19 with what he learned from 18. Mm-hmm. I think if Moose played again, I think Moose would be much more equipped to run this game.
Yeah. So I was just thinking kind of personality wise, I get a little bit of DX from him because, same thing last season.
Chill, relax.
DX didn't really know the game. And then he comes in and he's kind of good. You know, he has this personality that people are kind of like drawn towards. He's good at competitions, but he's, you know, learning as he goes. And I feel like if DX could have come into the game, how he left the game, he could have had a completely different trajectory. And I kind of feel the same thing about Moose because, you know, as Arissa says in his eviction, like, you're not, you know, they think you're a super fan, but we know that you're not. And so I think that the knowledge that he has gained at an alarming rate, you know, it's the right decision to kind of target Moose because you keep letting him get by, he's a huge threat.
So if the Marty thing doesn't work, that's a good situation for them. And you're right. You're right. That's a good situation. So after we have that situation, we then get to the veto picks, right? The only person that cannot be picked is Marty. That's the plan, at least. So we get the wheel spin. We get Moose spinning first. Then he picks Josh. And Josh
House
is like...
House choice.
Yeah. And Josh is like, I don't know why he picked me a second time. We're not that close, but okay. Because for Moose is doing this all because he thinks him and Josh are closer and he wants Josh to show Josh that he's loyal to him.
Yeah. Like, really, I'm going to be picking you because, you know, you're my boy. I'm trying to work something here for us.
Next we get another spin. We get House guest choice once again. I wonder if it lands on one of those empty spaces, do they have to respin? Okay,
I needed to know this because how many times do they got to spin? Because at a certain point in time, I'm thinking it's going to be like the Big Brother dinner table and they're going to make it smaller and smaller. Like there's so many empty spaces now, Big Brother. Let's go down to a smaller wheel.
I assume they just respin if that's the case. And
this could take forever for them to spin.
It could, but what else are they doing? They're in the house all together. What else is there to do? So they spin the wheel again or whatever, and then Summer gets house guest choice, and she picks JC Lynn. Smart pick, because you can't pick Kevin and Helena because they're working against you. Josh has already been selected. You can't pick Gino.
And you know that JC Lynn is going to go with Gino's plan.
Yes. Yes. So they pick JC Lynn. Cool. Next big spin from Gino. Huge spin from Gino. It spins for forever, and then Helena ends up being the choice.
My girl.
My girl. I have Helena as a winner pick for me. And it's interesting because this is the best option for them outside of it being Betty.
Yeah.
Right? Because Kevin has won a veto before. Marty's not up there at all.
Gino
can't
compete. He wins a lot of competitions.
And Helena has
it's kind of wide open.
Yeah, it gives him the best chance to win. And as Gino says, he has four of the five picks working for the same goal. Let's get this going.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to the POV competition. The POV competition is you got to take these, you got to fill this thing up with water. You got to shoot it at this tooth that has like plaque on it. Yeah, you gotta blast the plaque away. Then once all the plaque is done, you got to run and put together a puzzle, right? Now, before we get into this, I see here in the chat, Sheldon says, what are you saying? Moose picking Josh is a bad read. Josh doesn't have him no matter how hard he tries. He is 1 month too late. Now, I disagree with this from Sheldon because Moose said that he'll use it on either one of us. Same thing happened when Moose was sitting next to Herman. He would have used it on either one of them. I feel like Moose's read is that he's not necessarily, I think he's with me, but if he's not, he's going to make sure the plan goes off. And
I mean, we know that Marty and Josh don't have the best relationship. So if Josh is clued in on this plan of possibly backdooring Marty, you know, I do think there's a chance that he comes through with it. And I mean, you know, like ultimately you want to try to have some type of groundwork going with these people. And it may be a month late and a dollar short, but You got to try.
You got to do what you can. You got to try.
I mean, what are you going to do? Pick Betty, who sucks, and you know
right. She's not there? Josh has come in second many times, many, many times, including in this competition. As they get to the puzzle, it becomes an even playing field because the puzzle is a floating tooth you have to build.
It's love this. Love the floating puzzle.
I love the fact that in this competition, Summer actually went for it because Summer admitted that she's been throwing all the comps. And I know, Kylie, that you're not a Summer fan because you don't like people that throw comps.
That I'm not a Summer fan. I am not a Summer stan. I think Summer is a very nice girl. She obviously has an amazing social game. I'm not rooting for her to win Big Brother.
So I think that Summer's been playing this game pretty well because I think it's very important not to win competitions in Big Brother. Big Brother is a game where if you can control things from the shadows, that's the real move. And then at the end, you need to be able to pull off a mask and be like, ha ha, it was me all along.
I don't disagree with that because obviously, like, I am rooting very, very hard for Kevin and Helena, who are doing most of their things behind the scenes. Neither one of them have an HOH, yet they are the ones running the house. And so I am not necessarily anti-throwing competitions. I don't like when Summer needs to pretty much win that HOH contest and she goes to get a have-not card. That one. So, that kills me. I mean, I love Kim Spradlin in Winners at War when she stepped down for some cookies. No, I was not happy with Kim. Like, that's a terrible decision. You know what I mean?
So
it's frustrating.
You don't have to win them all. And she admitted that once she lost the one question, she gave up. And she wishes she didn't give up. But that was a little bit of, I want to make sure I get this slot pass. Because even with her getting that, I think she would have still been, she was still in the competition. I think it seemed like she threw a couple questions after that, which made it seem bad because she was still right there. Gino missed the question. Gino missed two questions.
That was exactly it, you know, she missed that question. And if she hadn't, she could have still been in there. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is.
So Summer tries in this competition. They had to build the tooth. At the end of the day, Helena wins her first competition. Shouts to Helena.
And
poor Mr. Gino, because the one person he could not have win this thing won this thing.
Yeah. And so what I really love, and once again, I do not remember the order that things go, but that's okay. I love the conversation that we get between Helena and Marty, where Helena is like, Gino is really well set up in this game. And
so before we get there,
okay,
because before we get there, we get a conversation between Kevin and Helena who say they need Moose gone before Marty. And they know that everyone hates Marty. Then we get a conversation with Helena and Gino, and Gino's like, you know, it's your veto. You could do what you want with it. But I was thinking that Marty's dangerous. And she's like, look, Marty's not coming for you. She's not coming for us. We have the five. We're good to go. And it's really interesting because both Kevin and Helena are continuing to push the five narrative. Yeah. And it's got, I mean, Gino's not a genius. You know, I know they keep saying he is. He's not a genius.
Clearly. So
pushing that narrative has gotten them, both JL and Gino, on board with maybe we should ride with the five just for a little bit longer. Yeah. And so with that conversation, Helena ends up telling him essentially that I'm not going to be playing the veto on anyone.
And Moose, I mean, is Helena dangerous. Is not wrong. She is 100% right. And she's even right from Gino's standpoint. Like, Gino, you are the, you know, most physical person here and you're in a showman's. Like, if you take Marty out, the target is on you.
And that's what's funny is because I don't know that the target is on Gino after that, because there are specific sides.
Yeah.
Right. So if one of the people that he's working with wins, then he's going to be safe. But Marty is who he has set out to get initially. And I think it's very interesting. It was very great that Helena was able to be like, hey, man, I'm not going to be using this veto. And as Sheldon says here in the chat, he loves the flexibility of Gino and JL. immediately Gina's like, well, time for plan B. Which one of these two do we need to go home?
Yeah.
Moose.
And I mean, but is it flexibility or is it like, because are they, I don't feel like this is Gina's decision. You know what I mean? I think this
It is, let me tell you why it is flexibility.
He's almost convinced himself and then convinced Jason.
Not almost.
Kylie, this is it.
Not almost. He did convince himself that this is what we have to do. Because once she says that she's not using the veto, he doesn't sit there. And now I agree with Sheldon. There's flexibility because he didn't sit there and badger her about needing to use the veto. He didn't beg her. At least we didn't see that. She says, I'm not going to use the veto. It's not good for my game. And he goes, okay. Sounds good. I get where you're coming from. And so plan B, which one of these two do we got to have go?
Yeah.
And that's why they're flexible, because he could have pushed. He could have prodded her. Could have been like, I need you to use this veto. We got to backdoor Marty. It's got to be Marty. It has to be Marty. He didn't. He didn't do any of that, which is why I also believe that Helena and Kevin weren't able to really go back and hand Marty the smoking gun, because Gino never came to them with the upfront plan and the hard press to get them gone.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So once he realized that he was in the situation that he had to pivot, he does. Doesn't push back, pivots. And immediately he starts to consider the fact that Moose might be better to go than Summer.
Yeah.
Now, me and you both know, Kylie, JL does not believe Summer should stay. We both know that she would rather have Summer gone this week. But we have them deciding that Moose wasn't good for their game. Now, do you agree that Moose isn't good for their game?
I mean, I think long-term Moose isn't good for their game, because at a certain point in time, especially like after this week when we have a triple eviction, you know, competitions do matter. And if you're able to win out, which, you know, depending on who's left, there's a great possibility of that. So, yeah, you know, I think in the long run, Moose is probably the better one to go.
Mm-hmm. So they convinced them, Gino convinces himself that after talking to Helena, that it's better for him to get off the Marty plan and go with Moose.
Yeah.
We next have the first of two conversations that are extremely important to what happens next. Gino sits down with JL and he tells JC Lynn, I think since Helena's not using the veto, it could be good for us, because he says verbatim what Helena said to him.
Yeah.
If Marty goes, I'm next. And then JC Lynn is like, oh, that's a good point. So maybe we need to keep Martin in this game. So since they wanted to keep Martin in the game, Helena has worked her way into that brain and got that earworm in there, which I thought was great. But the reason that was so important, because of what happens next. There's some new flowers in the house, Kylie.
Yes, and we have seen this before in Big Brother Canada. I know, because I'm an expert, and where they dropped in some flower arrangements, and it does end up leading to a secret power. We saw it on BB Can 5, I think, where we had Will. William.
Okay.
Finds it, and he has to go on the little mission. He finds the secret veto. And so JC Lynn was spot on, and I'm sure that they all looked at them, but, you know, like, I would have been tearing those flowers apart, because they don't do things for no reason. If something new is in the house, there is a reason for it. But our girl JC Lynn, she goes
right to the flowers and finds a little note that has a phone number. Now, I'm very confused why this was hard to remember, because it was 555-1212.
Yeah.
I remember that right now, and I watched this episode days ago. It's literally three numbers. But anyway, she carries a little piece of paper around with her, and she has to make it to the phone room, right? Because she needs to dial this number, and she's got to do it covertly, because she doesn't want anyone to see her. So she lays down a yoga mat, and then she does a little yoga while they're doing some pool. Then she sneaks into the room. Sneaks in the room. And she dials the number. When she dials the number, they tell her that there are three doors that she needs to grab keys. She needs to grab these three keys. And then once she grabs the keys, she needs to do it covertly. And then once she gets the keys, come back to the phone. I thought that was so much stuff to do.
First, yeah, she gotta find the room. I loved it. I think it's fun. You know, she had to check all of the doors, and you know, she's trying to be all sneaky,
all discreet.
And, you know, like she's, you know, Summer is walking above her as she's coming out of the room, and you know, you love that stuff. It's kind of like looking for a hidden immunity idol, and yeah. You know, on Survivor, like they're always making it look like the person's fixing to get caught. But this, we actually got to see like really play out, where I mean, literally, Summer just missed JC Lynn by seconds. Yep. And she would have been caught. So I think it's kind of fun. I like the little sneakiness to it. But I do not love that this is only good for 1 week.
So wait, before we get to the finish, she then gets the keys. After she gets the keys, she has to return to the phone. And then they give her a riddle, which was insane to me. They say, I forgot exactly what the riddle is, but
it works like, out. The number of people that slid versus the number of people frozen in the door versus the number of people not safe in the chain of safety.
Yeah. And then it was like, I got to do this math. I got to figure this out. She does it quickly, at least on the show. And it comes out to 11. So there's a secret room behind number 11.
She opens the door.
And what does she find back there?
Arissa.
Not in the flesh, but on the screen. And Arissa lets her know that she has found the secret secret veto, and she has the opportunity to earn it. Mm-hmm. She needs to unlock these little puzzle blocks, assemble the pieces, and put together this puzzle. Now, when she started to put together the puzzle, I immediately got flashes back to Caitlin.
But this was a much more complicated puzzle.
Mm-hmm, but she's running out of time. And with about 5 seconds to spare, JC Lynn finishes the puzzle. Yeah. And she earns the secret veto.
Okay, but I am going to have to just show that, you know, maybe I'm not the, you know, brightest crayon in the box either. Because I had the hardest time figuring out why she was doing a letter A puzzle. It took me a really long time to realize that it was a V. For veto, yes. with the symbol in the middle, but that's okay, yes. Y'all.
So she puts together the veto puzzle, and Arissa says, congratulations, you earned the secret veto. You cannot tell anyone or else you'll be evicted.
Love this.
Wow.
I love that.
Wow.
You know, they have done this with other twists before, like, hey, you know, Canada has voted you into the house. You cannot tell anybody how why you are late to the show. You got to make up a reason, because if you tell anybody, you're immediately going to be evicted. I love this. I kind of wish that they would also put this in on Survivor. Like, if you tell anybody about this idol, you're getting voted out. Just boom, done. And so just make people keep their mouth shut. And so I love that it's a secret. It's a secret. Like Marsha in the news.
It's such a secret that she can't even tell her closest ally, her lover boy, Gino.
Yeah. So but she does have like a secret conversation with Gino. Gino's just
so that's why she has a second of two most important conversations. She sits down with Gino again and says, now, Gino, is Moose really good for our game? Or would you rather have Marty backdoor? And Gino, he is understanding that something's amiss.
Yeah.
And he's like, why? Like, why do you want to change it? Like, Moose is probably better to go, but like, what are you feeling? Like, you have something going on?
Why are you being scared? Like, what's mm-hmm. got you spooked?
She's like, no, everything's fine.
No reason.
Now, this conversation was super important because I was wondering why she would or would not use it. Yeah. And because Gino has made it very clear that his plan is to get rid of Martin from the jump. And with Helena winning the veto, I knew that there was no way that was going to happen. So I had to wonder, well, how can they get this job done now that they have the secret veto? Well, we get to the veto ceremony. And Helena, as expected, does not use the veto. Then she has to go and read a card and says that the HOH, the veto is not done. And There's a secret veto holder. If they want to be known, they make themselves known right now, and they use their veto. J.C. Lynn stays quiet. Shocked. I was shocked. I was flabbergasted. But those two conversations led her to not using it.
Yep.
When I think she probably should have. Because Moose's pitch was that if you use it on me, I'm in your pocket. I am an agent of yours. I will do whatever you need to do. Secret veto holder. They would get Marty on the block. And I think Moose would have honored that deal to J.C. Lynn.
Yeah. And on the reverse, I think we also need to talk about Summer's speech. Because entertaining, yes. Funny, yes. Does it do her any good in the game? No. None good. Especially knowing that the secret veto holder is J.C. Lynn. You're telling J.C. Lynn to kiss your ass. Like, you know,
well, I mean, if she knew it was J.C. Lynn, she probably would have just told her straight up, yeah. Kiss my ass. But the speech was good by Moose, not good by Summer. And then we're going to see more of that in a little bit. And sure enough, the veto does not get used. Those two stay on the block. The end of that episode, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Most importantly, everyone thinks Marty has a secret veto.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see it on his face. I know that he has it. Gino says, I know I was looking at him. He was not shocked. He was not surprised. I know without a doubt Marty has it. J.C. Lynn is like, how do you know that Marty has it? And she's almost like offended that no one is giving her any credit that she could find this thing, that it has to have been Marty. And so, you know, she only had to keep the secret until that veto ceremony was over. And then it's, you know, her information to do with what she wants with it. And I kind of thought when she passed up that initial opportunity that she was just going to let this secret go with her.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the next episode, right after the veto, we have the next episode. And like we just said, everyone thinks Martin has it. Everyone. They go to Martin. Martin's like, I was shitting bricks. I thought that Betty had it. I mean, Martin's convinced that Betty had the power this whole time. So,
okay. Come on, Marty.
He thought that this was the power that she has. Well, that's when Helena and Marty had that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Helena's talking about how well-placed Gino is in this game.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she also mentioned that to Martin, that if the veto got used, he could have been in danger.
Yeah, and she tells him, like, There was kind of some talks about you possibly getting backdoored. And, you know, like Gino was in a situation of, if I would have used the veto, he could have been situated well for you to go up. Me not using the veto, he's still situated well. Like, mm-hmm. He's smarter than we think. He's good at competitions. He's positioned well. And she's not completely wrong. I think a little wrong on the smarts, although he has 1-2 mental comps, so can't take that away from him. But she's right in that Gino is kind of insulated and he is a big target. So it's like, how? You know, how? Mm-hmm.
And that's something that they're going to have to be looking at going forward, because as of right now, those two are safe. They will be here next week. Summer's a little upset that she thought Helena would have used the veto on her to help save her. Probably not some. She's probably not going to use it on you, and she didn't. So,
you know, I've not seen any relationship between Summer and Helena, so I don't know.
Well, they have the Mandams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did.
They have the Mandams. And then even the siblings. The siblings, I think Helena was on the outside of the siblings right there. Like, she was,
I can't remember. You know, it's not been featured enough. It's been enough weeks that, you know, I don't feel like this is just a super tight relationship that they have. So I was surprised that she was expecting Helena to use it.
Well, these two get to campaigning, and boy, do they have different campaign strategies.
Boy.
Moose's campaign strategy is to go and say, listen, I'm here to work for you, Kylie. I'm here to work for whatever you need. Let's work together to get you further in this game.
I can help you. I can win competitions for you. You can target me. whatever you need to do. And I mean, he is like selling ice to an Eskimo. I mean,
people are laughing it up.
People are walking away from the conversation like, you know what? Moose is right. Moose is better for my game. I should keep him.
And they're like, wait, it was too good. He might be good. He might be saying that to everybody, which he was. But I appreciated the fact that Moose pitched to every single person, including Betty, who he thought was thick as thieves with Summer. Now, mind you, we saw on the flip side, Betty and Summer had a conversation, and Betty, Petty Betty, came through and took the stance. Yeah, she took the stance.
Throws the same exact conversation back onto Summer, like, I just really don't know where my vote's going to be. Like, I'm just kind of having mixed feelings. And at first, Summer's like,
huh?
Oh,
you're being me. You're being me right now. Then I'm going to be you. I don't want a hug.
Very funny conversation. But I love that Betty makes it a little bit lighthearted, but almost, you know, like a little, oh, hey. You
it
know,
was a jab. It was definitely a jab.
How the turntables.
Yep, how the tables turn. I don't know, turntables. Turntables.
You don't watch The Office, obviously.
After that situation, we have Summer continuing the campaign, and she's literally telling people, Kylie, hey, I'm not making any promises.
I can't promise you that I'm going to keep you safe. Can't promise that I'm not going to come after you next week. I might vote you out. I might nominate you. If you're sitting in the final two, I'm probably going to vote for the other person.
Yeah, but you should keep me, though, because I'm a good time.
Yeah, I'm fun, and that is the root of my problems with Summer as a Big Brother player. Summer is there because she has a great personality. People are drawn to her. She is a terrible Big Brother player. And this is also why I have a very hard time with so many people getting behind her in the Twitter world to save Summer for this next week. Because, yes, Summer is great in the DR. Summer has funny lines, but Summer is not good at Big Brother. And she really, really illustrates that with her campaign. It's so cringy.
This is my real question.
It's terrible to watch.
I wonder if she's really a bad campaigner. And I say that because we just watched what happened. But she said from the beginning that she was pretty sure she would be staying next to Moose. She was pretty sure that she would be safe. And so part of me thought that the reason she didn't campaign too hard is because she thought she already had the numbers. So she was going to continue to play up. Because even her conversations, she has a conversation with JC Lynn and tells her, I'm not promising you anything. I can't.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like at a certain point, like, you know, Summer says, hey, I'm throwing all the competitions, I'm going to win one. And she does it. So, you know, it's easy to say that you're throwing things. It's easy to say, hey, I know I'm not the target, so I'm not going to campaign super hard. At a certain point in time, she has to flip the switch, and I have to see some other side of Summer besides the good time. Like, Summer is a badass chick. Like, I would love to be friends with her and hang out with her in real life, but I don't want her to win the game of Big Brother because she's not doing the damn thing.
Summer's a good strategist, too, though. Right, she got Kyle Moore out. She had the Mandams. She's the one that put together the siblings. She was in alliances with Tanisha. Tanisha was a ride or die, though. Tanisha going home kind of like shot her game. But she had great relationships with her mom, with Betty, with Josh. They're all social, but they're all very strategic.
Great friendships. Does she have strong game alliances where these people are willing to go to bat for her?
And they did.
She does.
They did. I mean, so she campaigns to JC Lynn, and then we get a nice little segment where Summer is draped all over Gina. And as we've talked about before on the show, Summer and Gina on the feeds, there's a lot of flirting going on. There's a little flirt man's going on. Yeah. And JC Lynn does not like it.
Sure.
She does not like it at all.
Speaking as a female, when you have feelings for someone and vice versa, like I promise you, if, you know, Moose was all over JC Lynn and JC Lynn was just sitting there soaking it up, Gina wouldn't like it either. And correct. This is getting under JC Lynn's skin. And it's not so much the flirting, it's the picking from everybody else that's really pissing her off.
Yes, it's starting to really piss her off and make her mad. And she's watching Summer openly flirt with her boyfriend. Like, and Summer says, you know, I feel like I'm not doing nothing wrong. If, I mean, unless you guys are in a relationship. So I'm just being me and hanging out. And that's what has been happening the whole time on the feeds, this exact relationship, which is why I said that on Tuesday's episode, that JC Lynn wants Summer gone. Yeah. Because Summer is nothing but a pain in her ass for her relationship with Gino. And Gino comes in there and he does the normal guy thing. I mean, I've done it before myself. What? I'm not doing anything.
It's not me. I'm just sitting there. And I mean, this is not a normal relationship in the real world, like where I would hope if Gino is JC Lynn's boyfriend that he is not just sitting there letting Summer drape herself all over him. But this is a game. Also play the game, and he can't just be like, hey Summer, don't flirt with me because I like JC Lynn. I mean,
right.
So I understand JC Lynn, I understand why it's upsetting to you because I'd be annoyed AF also, but I understand it from Gino's standpoint, and I understand it from Summer's too, like you know what I mean. Summer should keep doing what she's doing because
it's fun. She likes flirting with him because it's part strategy, partly just because it's fun. Gino's a handsome guy. Summer's a cute girl. And she's like, I got nothing else to do up in this house. And I know you got a little girlfriend, but like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me. We're all in this house. We all met the same day. Like, this is not nothing new. But in fact, me and JC Lynn came in at the same time. Like, this is not, we're part of that first group. So
And so, I mean, JC Lynn, she's like, I will cut this off. Like, I will break up with you.
And she was like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. I'll take care of it. And in the storage room, Sheldon discussed them not being too romantic.
Yeah.
In this episode, we get a little date where JC Lynn tells Gino that she did have the secret veto. And JC Lynn and Gino's just so proud of her for not using it and keeping the noms the same. And
yes, you are going to ride for me, boo.
Even though if he had just been like, I'm not sure about the Marty thing, she would have used it and got taken care of it. He made it clear that he didn't think it was good for their game, so they didn't do it. But Sheldon mentioned that they're not very affectionate.
Yeah.
When he comes in the storage room, he like leans to her and says, kiss me. And she's like, no, because she's pissed. She's mad about the Summer thing right now. But if he's saying it like that, they be kissing and we just don't be seeing it on the show. You know what I'm saying?
There's I mean, there's definitely been other showmances that they have highlighted them, you know, definitely having more affection towards each other. But, you know, I think that's good. Like, everybody knows that they're affectionate, but, you know, speaking as a mother, like, nobody wants their kid on the live feeds. Nobody wants to see it. As much. Right. So, you know, I like the level of respect that JC Lynn and Gino have here. So,
yes. Do you think they're going to date outside the show?
I think there might be a little chance for them.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they're going to give it a shot. I hope it works out. I feel like I'm just very proud because looking at the pictures from the jump, I said JC Lynn is going to date Gino. Immediately. And I also called, I said, Steph's going to be interested. He's going to curve Steph and he's going to pick JC Lynn. And it was so crazy because that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. No, I mean, I kind of feel like, which there have been a lot of successful romances come out of the Big Brother house, actually. But, you know, some of the ones that you look at the most, like Jeff and Jordan, Tyler and Angela, I feel like
Ike and Dimitri.
Even Ike and Dimitri. But I was going to say with those two in particular, that they were kind of more friends and then it developed into a showmance, and I kind of get that vibe from Gino and JC Lynn. Like,
but you don't get that vibe from Gino and Summer.
It's not there, Kevin. It's not.
I don't know that either one of them are that interested. I think Summer is just a big flirt in general.
I think Gino's interested in JC Lynn.
Like long term, I think so too.
Yeah.
And I think that's really nice for them. You know what I'm saying? I know Kylie, I know you love a good showmance. I love a good showmance.
I do like a showmance.
You're like Jess. You just love to see it on the show.
I love.
So with you love and love, these two just starting to canoodle. They fix their situation with Summer. We're good to go there. Then we get to the eviction.
Time to vote.
Time to vote. They stand up, they give their speeches. I know that in Summer's speech, she says you got to throw it to the Afro. So Orisa will be making a choice tonight. And let me know.
Like, I was like, really? All three of them have Afros?
Yes.
Could have been saying throw it to Moose.
Yes, it's true. It's true. Moose gets up and gives another compelling speech about how he is here to work for the people in the house. He's here for them, not for himself. And if you keep him, you're keeping someone that can be allied to you. So that was a very compelling speech. Very compelling. What did you think of their speeches?
Yeah, I thought that they were really good. Once again, Summer's is fun. It's not strategic. This keeps kind of with her MO. Summer is fun. She's entertaining. And, you know, Moose is super chill, but very logical. And, I mean, ultimately, I think Moose is the bigger threat. So, for the other house guests, I think that they made the right decision getting rid of Moose over Summer.
So, they go into the booth. Everyone evicts Moose. Unanimously, Moose is going to go join Herman.
That dream house is going to be so fun.
Yeah, man, they're going to run around. There's a little video. There's a video that's floating on the internet.
Yeah, of Herman.
And it is Herman in the Big Brother house, yeah. Or in the jury house. Jury and house. It was one of the funniest jury house videos I ever saw. He said, one clip, he mentions that he eats here at the table. And then some days he switches it up and he eats here at the table. Then he moves to another chair and he points to a third chair. And that's where I eat some other days, just so that way I can mix it up. He, in the video, he also plays Connect Four with himself. Then he runs around the Connect Four thing.
Did he play tetherball too?
He played tetherball. Yep, by himself. And he gave a tour of the house. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Him and Moose are going to have a great time just kicking back and hanging out. So Moose gets evicted unanimously. He also yells, "Thank you, Canada," on his way out. Talks to Orisa, and Orisa is very complimentary to his game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said, very, very much impressed with Moose. He gave me a lot different than what I thought we were going to get from him. I enjoyed him. I wish we could have had him longer.
If there's an All-Star season, do you think we see Moose? Do you think we see Moose again?
No,
I don't think so either. But I think he was a great player. It'll be great to see him on some other show. Maybe he could be like ASAP from the Are You the One world. Yeah. See him on like a cooking show or something, and like another
X on the Beach.
Dancing show. Yeah, X on the Beach, something like that. Moose, though, here for vibes. I loved Moose. I thought he was great. But I'm also very excited because Summer's still in the house. Summer is still in the house, still playing. I don't know that her campaigning was poor on purpose, but it was bad. But hopefully, if she's in a situation where she might go home, she is able to campaign better and tell people that she's willing to promise them the world at this point.
Yeah, I'm worried that she lacks the, what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say like the seriousness, but that's not exactly it. But kind of,
you
like
don't feel
the
like
grit.
She understood the gravity of the situation,
right? I don't. Yeah, you know, like she makes it. Yes, Herman, he danced his way on the block. He danced his way off, and then he danced his way back on again. But Herman still, when it came time, you know, he was out there. He was hustling. He was doing his car salesman shtick. You know, trying to get himself to stay. And I just don't feel like we ever see Summer flip that switch. And I don't know if she has that in her.
I hope she didn't, because she felt like she was going to be safe all along. I hope that was the reason.
See. You know, this time next week, I might be eating my words.
Well, this time next week, you might not be. Because Orisa lets us all know that first and foremost, there's going to be a way for Canadians, and me and Kylie through a VPN will be able to vote for safety for the people. For the Bel Air Direct. Look at that. Look at us. I'm sure they're not down here. But for the Bel Air Direct.
I could be making it up, because like Bel Air is kind of where the Fresh Prince was from. That sounds right, though. Bel Air Direct.
Bel Air Direct sounds right. Yeah, if they do insurance in Canada, Bel Air Direct. And so you can vote for safety and keep that insurance. Everyone should be voting for Summer.
It's closed. But I feel strongly, based off of what I saw in the Twitterverse, that it's going to be Gino or it's going to be Summer.
So we will be voting for that. Oh, before that, there was a little bit of a party. I forgot about that.
Oh, everyone, yeah, we did forget
there was
about
a little party. Josh finds a card outside on the before everyone goes home. Everybody
that,
goes there.
That needs to be a gif of Josh going for us. And I tried to find the picture. Love that moment, and I just want it like on replay as a little loop because it was everyone, a great reaction.
Well, he goes inside, grabs everybody. They all run outside, and they're all just excited. They're all just excited, and they say who they're all. Oh, they're all thankful for. That was, I thought that was cool, and they're just there to party and have a good time.
Yeah, just a fun
Another moment. Thing. That happened was that Josh and Gino played a game. This was not in the episode, but they played some pool, and the loser had to spend the rest of the day in a banana hammock. And if you look at the thumbnail for this episode of the show on the YouTube, I did not, obviously, as everyone knows, Kylie thirsts for them boys. And
not them boys, Gino.
The men's. I did you forget that I'm on the Survivor podcast with you?
I don't thirst for Jonathan. I love Jonathan, but I'm not thirsting for Jonathan. Different.
Well, she thirsts for little Gino. And Gino walking around in a banana hammock. Josh, I'm sure, was happy about it. I know Kylie
Summer
was happy about it.
JC Lynn Summer was.
JC Lynn was probably happy, but then mad that Summer was also enjoying it. So... That was definitely
But the biggest thing that is dropped is that, A, we are only 3 weeks away from the end of the season.
Yes.
But also speaking of a three, we are getting a triple eviction.
No, not
week.
No, not that part yet.
We are.
There's a door. There's a door that has a number that's counting down. And it changes all.
What is
there's
a door?
There's a door. Who knows? And Gino's terrible at math because he thinks there's 25 hours in a day.
And I meant to talk about it earlier. Yes. So all of those that are so worried about Gino being super great and super smart, the man thinks there are 25 hours in a day. Therefore, there are 100 hours in 4 days.
Yes. Yeah.
But no cigar.
Yeah. And Moose is like, bruh, that's not right.
And Moose even says, I'm not following your math.
Yeah. And then I love at the end when Moose is done with the conversation, he says that door's going to open on week 9 on right before the HOH. That's the time it is. Like, what are you? Week 9. That's the door. And he's like, I don't think so. It is. I did the math weeks ago. I'm done with this conversation. Because your math doesn't make sense.
So I can't wait to see what's going to be behind the door. Cannot
yes.
wait.
I cannot wait either. Maybe
okay, Zingo. Also, before we get to the triple... Can we talk about what? Okay, remember the very first eviction when Kevin got to open the door and he won $500?
It ain't never been done again.
What happened to the doors? I'm so confused.
I thought they were going to do that. They said they're going to do it periodically, and then they meant by never.
Periodically, we mean just this one time.
I can't believe it hasn't been done again. I was literally thinking about that earlier today as they were pulling on. I was thinking about them pulling on doors.
Yeah.
That, yeah, they have not. Had secret doors with money behind it again.
Yeah, so weird. So, but okay. Yes. So, anyways, next week.
Next week.
Eviction.
Next week. Safety first. First and foremost, someone's going to be safe. Secondly, there's going to be a triple eviction. As I was about to ask right before he did, Sam wants to know who is going in. The triple. Kylie,
so I think
give me
before,
three.
Names. I think before we get into that, Sam also asked, you know, who won HOH.
We don't. We're not talking about that. That was on the
well,
episode.
Well, we do, and I think that we should talk about it to talk
we're
about
not,
the next question.
We're not talking about who won HOH. We're going to wait till next week.
We don't have to talk about anything else. We can talk about who won HOH so that we can talk about hypotheticals. So if you don't want to know who won HOH,
well,
skip
the
on
HOH
out.
Competition, they have to like hang from this thing. And position themselves awkwardly and hang from there. As we know, there's a gentleman in there that has been good at comps, and this was no exception. The winner of this HOH is one Mr. Martin. Once again,
Marty wins. He beats
Martin won.
Little Betty. He beats Little Summer. He beats figure skater JC Lynn. And the 60-year-old man in the 42-year-old body, Marty, wins the HOH.
So I'm not happy Marty, about this.
Marty is going to go in the triple eviction. There is almost no chance that Marty does not.
So leave Martin house wins. Martin wins the HOH. He apparently hung up there for over 4 hours.
4 hours. Did you see the pictures of his back?
Yes.
I mean, this man has bruises like the size of
bruises and welts. Insane.
Wow.
But Martin hangs up there for his dear life, and he wins the HOH. His, I mean, might as well get into it if you want to get into
it. Okay, let's just do it all.
His plan is to put up Josh and Betty once again, and he told Summer that she's the backdoor option, or she's the replacement nom option, not the backdoor option.
So I think one of those go home, probably Betty, if I had to imagine. And I think we see Betty leave, but then Marty cannot play in the HOH in the triple eviction. But
he can play in the veto. So as long as Martin doesn't win the veto, if he doesn't win the veto, he's going home.
Yes. So I think we see Betty, Marty, and maybe a Josh, maybe Summer. I think we lose two of the three of Marty's options to be nominated, and I think we lose Marty.
I think we lose, shocker, Gino, Marty, and probably Josh?
Yeah.
That's who I think goes, and let me tell you why. So, as of right now, Marty's plan is to put up both Betty and Josh. If the veto is used, you cannot sit here and tell me that Kevin and Helena are not going to do everything they can to convince Martin that it is now time for him to strike Gino. And as we know, Marty is extremely susceptible to the machinations
of both those two. The last person that is in his ear.
Not even the last person. The loudest. And Kevin and Helena are the loudest in his ear. Yeah. And so I think that they convince him to put up Gino in a back door.
Then Gino goes home. Gino can leave. But I see no scenario where Marty makes it through this week. The only way he does, obviously, is if he wins the HO. I mean, wins the veto in the triple.
And so I think then you have Marty not being able to compete and Marty going home next as the second evictee. And then this is when Kevin and...
Hold on. They don't do the triple like the U.S. does the triple.
Okay. So how do they do it here?
Three people are nominated. They do the power of veto, and they vote to save one of the three nominees.
Interesting. So I think
Marty has one shot.
Okay. So I think that Marty's going to be sitting up there with Josh, because this is Kevin and Helena's chance to slay them both at the same time.
Yeah.
And they take them both out. And then we're going to be left with the house of Helena, Kevin, Betty, JC Lynn, and Summer.
I think that's a very good chance.
And that sets Kevin up the best way to try to get to the end and win. At that point, though, I would really hope a women's thing comes together. I would really hope a woman's thing
comes together. I hope not, because I am full on rooting for Kevin to take this home.
And as a
consolation prize, and still being very, very happy with the season, is a Helena win.
I would love to talk to Kevin.
Because
Kevin's been playing one of the best. If I were to rank them, because the season's not over, I think the five best Big Brother players I've ever seen are Dan, Derek,
Dr. Will,
Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany Will currently.
Okay.
And I think right outside of the five is you have Kevin sitting out there, because I didn't see any other Big Brother Canada season, so I don't really know any other Big Brother Canada people. But you have Kevin right there for me, and you have Vanessa Russo as the next two that are like knocking on the door.
Yeah. And I mean, if Kevin wins, does he put himself up there with the elites? Does he get up there with Dan, Derek, Will, you know, these people that won very convincingly their first times playing?
Now, Sam, I think Tim asked me to know Danielle Reyes. I think Danielle was extremely good, but the game was not what it is now. You don't have the players with the know-how now. It's very similar.
And, I talked about Danielle got screwed because, no, Janelle's not a good brother player. Janelle's an entertaining big brother player.
But, like, so the reason with Danielle is that Danielle was so early, she got screwed based on how the format was.
Yeah.
With them being able to go home and see the diary rooms. I think the one of my big things is that, like, I'm a big sports guy, and I think LeBron and Jordan are the best ever because of their era. They've had time to look at people and see. You can't say Bob Pettit was the best ever. You can't say Bob Cousy. You can't say Jerry West. These guys are great in their time, but the games were different. You know what I'm saying? And so at this point in the way the game is played now, I think Danielle Reyes is amazing. I want to make sure that's clear. Danielle is amazing. But she, I don't think that since she was so early.
But I mean, so is Will. I mean, Will wins the season.
But that's why, Danielle. Where was Will, though, on my list? Will is number five on my list.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why. Like, I don't have Will that high because of how early it was. He invented strategy. When you talk about Survivor, a lot of people like to put Richard Hatch in there as one of the best winners, but no one else knew what was going on. So, you can't just have Hatch in there. You know what I'm saying? Hatch is a Hall of Famer, but I don't think that just makes him the best. And same thing with Will. So that's where I'm at on that. But I think after the triple, that's what we're left with, a house of five. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be exciting. Kylie, we got this done in a little bit over an hour with no notes. Props to us.
Props to us, because I would have taken some notes if I would have known you weren't taking it. Because I watched both of these episodes today. Could have been a week ago, because the order completely escapes my memory. I watched them back to back, so, you know, like, one conversation could have been in episode 20, but I remember it in 19, so it's fine, no big deal.
Thank you for joining us, Kylie. You have anything you want to promote?
Just, you can check out our coverage from the merge episode of Survivor that we were on here last night talking about that. Really, really great merge episode. We had a great time talking and debating, shocker, about different things from the merge. And we are excited to see what the rest of the Survivor season brings us.
And also join us on Tuesday, where Josh and Sheldon should be back to steer this thing correctly. And we will be joined probably by me and maybe someone else, who knows, as we talk about Martin's HOH and who he actually puts up and how that looks, as well as we get into a little bit of the live feeds. Join us. Thank you for joining us today. Other than that, see you later.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.